The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Our first story today is one that you might know already, The Little Engine That Could, by Wattie Piper. Chug, chug, chug. Poof, poof, puff. Ding dong, ding dong. The little train rumbled over the tracks. She was a happy little train, for she had such a jolly load to carry. Her cars were full of good things for boys and girls. There were toy animals, giraffes with long necks, teddy bears with almost no necks at all, and even a baby elephant. And then there were dolls, dolls with blue eyes and yellow curls, dolls with brown eyes and brown bobbed heads, and the funniest little toy clown you ever saw. And there were cars full of toy engines, airplanes, tops, picture puzzles, books, and every kind of thing boys or girls could want. But that was not all. Some of the cars were filled with all sorts of good things for boys and girls to eat. Big golden oranges, red-cheeked apples, bottles of creamy milk for their breakfasts, fresh spinach for their dinners, peppermint drops, chocolate bars and lollipops for after-meal treats. The little train was carrying all of these wonderful things to the good little boys and girls on the other side of the mountain. She puffed along merrily. Then, all of a sudden, she stopped with a jerk. She simply could not go another inch. She tried and she tried, but her wheels would not turn. What were all these good little boys and girls on the other side of the mountain going to do without the wonderful toys to play with and the good food to eat? "Here comes a shiny new engine," said the funny little clown who jumped out of the train. "Let us ask him to help us." So all the toys and dolls cried out together, "Please, shiny new engine, won't you please pull our train over the mountain? Our engine has broken down, and the boys and girls on the other side of the mountain won't have any toys to play with or good food to eat unless you help us." But the shiny new engine snorted. "I pull you. I am a passenger engine. I have just carried a fine, big train over the mountain with more cars than you have ever dreamed of. My train had sleeping cars with comfortable berths, a dining car where waiters bring whatever hungry people could want to eat, and parlor cars in which people sit in soft armchairs and look at a big plate glass windows. I pull the likes of you? Indeed not." And off he steamed to the roundhouse where engines live when they are not busy. How sad the little train and all the dolls and toys felt. Then the little clown called out, "The passenger engine is not the only engine in the world. Here is another engine coming, a great big strong one. Let us ask him to help us." The little toy clown waved his flag, and the big strong engine came to a stop. "Please, oh please, big engine," cried all the dolls and toys together. "Won't you please pull our train over the mountain? Our engine has broken down, and the good little boys and girls on the other side of the mountain won't have any toys to play with or good food to eat unless you come to help us." But the big, strong engine bellowed, "I am a freight engine. I have just pulled a big train loaded with big machines over the mountain. These machines print books and newspapers for grown-ups to read. I am a very important engine indeed. I won't pull the likes of you." And the big freight engine puffed off indignantly to the roundhouse. The little train and all the dolls and toys were very sad. Cheer up, said the little toy clown. The freight engine is not the only engine in the world. Here comes another. But he looks very old and very tired. But our train is so little. Perhaps he can help us. So the little toy clown waved his flag, and the dingy, rusty old engine stopped. Please, kind Mr. Engine, cried all the dolls and toys together. Won't you please pull our train over the mountain? Our engine has broken down, and the boys and the girls on the other side won't have any toys to play with or any good food to eat unless you help us. And this picture shows the elephant actually crying, and one of the two little dolls crying, and Humpty Dumpty the egg looking sort of very sad and sorrowful. Even the funny clown is looking sad. But the rusty old engine sighed. I am so tired. I must rest my weary wheels. I cannot even pull so little a train as yours over the mountain. I cannot. I cannot. I cannot. And off he rumbled to the roundhouse, chugging, I cannot, I cannot, I cannot. And then indeed the little train was very, very sad, and the dolls and the toys were ready to cry, but some were already crying. But the little clown called out, here is another engine coming, a little blue engine, a very little one. Maybe she will help us. Then the very little blue engine came chug, chug, chug merrily along. When she saw the toy clown's flag, she stopped quickly. What is the matter, my friends? She asked kindly. Oh, little blue engine, cried the dolls and toys, will you please pull us over the mountain? Our engine has broken down, and the good boys and girls on the other side of the mountain won't have any toys to play with or any good food to eat unless you help us. Please, please help us. I am not very big, said the little blue engine. They use me only for switching trains in the yard. I have never been over the mountain. But we must get over the mountain before the children wake, said all the dolls and all the toys. The very little engine looked up and saw the tears in the dolls' and the toys' eyes. And she thought of the good little boys and girls on the other side of the mountain, who would not have any toys or good things to eat unless she helped. Then she said, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, and she hitched herself to the little train. She tugged and pulled and pulled and tugged, and slowly, 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 the train started off. The toy clown jumped aboard, and all the dolls and the toys and animals began to smile and to cheer. Puff, puff, chug, chug, went the little blue engine. I think I can, 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 I think I can. Up, 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 faster, faster, and faster, and faster, the little engine climbed, until at last they reached the top of the mountain. Down in the valley lay the city. Hurry, hurry, cried the funny little clown, and all the dolls, and all the toys. The good little boys and girls in the city will be so happy, because you helped us, kind little blue engine. The little blue engine smiled, and seemed to say as she puffed steadily up the mountain, down the mountain, I thought I could, 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 I knew I could. And that's the end of that story about sometimes someone comes along after we've asked many other people to help us, someone comes along that we don't expect to be able to help us, someone that comes along and does help us. And helps us beautifully. And that is the story of the little engine that could. This next story is called The Wrong Fairy Tale, Goldilocks and the Three Little Pigs. Once upon a time, in the land of fairy tales, a girl called Goldilocks was out for a walk in the woods when she spotted a little house made of bricks. She'd never noticed it before, and being a curious sort of girl, she went to have a closer look. There was a sign nailed to the garden gate. Notice, two wolves. Go away! Well, I'm not a wolf, said Goldilocks to herself as she opened the gate and walked up to the garden path. It can't hurt to do any harm. It can't do any harm to say hello. She knocked loudly on the front door 3 times and waited. There was no answer. Hello, called Goldilocks. She thought she heard a squealy, snorty sort of noise, but then it went quiet. Anybody home? She called, giving the front door a little push. To her surprise, it swung open. A delicious smell came wafting through the door. Goldilocks' tummy rumbled. Meanwhile, in their little brick house, the three little pigs had heard footsteps on the garden path and shut themselves inside a cupboard in panic. It's the big bad wolf, said the first little pig. He'll be asking to be let in a minute. And then he'll start huffing and puffing, said the second little pig. I'm sure there's nothing to worry about, said the third little pig. Not in this fine brick house, but let's stay in here just in case. But instead of the big wolf's booming voice, knock, knock, knock. What's going on? Said the first little pig. What about little pigs, let me in, said the second little pig. Well, whatever happens, he won't get into this house, said the third little pig. It's made of bricks. Then with a creak, the front door of the brick house swung open. Goldilocks stepped inside. Is anybody here? She said, looking straight at the cupboard. She marched up to it and opened the door, and the three frightened little pigs tumbled out. You're not the big bad wolf, snorted the second little pig, squeezing out from under the third little pig. The first little pig ran to the front door and drew 2 hefty bolts across it. No, of course I'm not, said Goldilocks. I just wanted to say hello to my new neighbors and, ooh, is that porridge? There were three delicious smelling bowls on the table. Would you mind, Goldilocks asked. Without waiting for an answer, she picked up a spoon and dipped it into the first bowl. But, began the first little pig. Oh, that's far too hot, exclaimed Goldilocks, and picked up the spoon next to the second bowl. No, she said, that one's too cold, moving on to the third bowl. Wait, said the second little pig. This is just right, said Goldilocks happily, taking another spoonful of the third bowl. Hang on, said the first little pig. A blonde girl goes into a cottage in the woods. She finds 3 bowls of delicious pig swill. You're Goldilocks, said the 3 little pigs together. You're in the wrong fairy tale. Goldilocks spun around. Oh, she said with a worried look at her spoon. What happens now? As if in reply, a great, booming, barky sort of voice shouted from outside, little pigs, let me come in. It's the big, bad wolf, squealed the third little pig. All the pigs shouted together, no, you cannot come in, not by the hair on our chinny chin chin. Then I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house in. Luckily, I built my house out of bricks, the third little pig told Goldilocks, and not from puny sticks and I can scarcely believe anyone would ever do this, straw. Luckily, someone remembered to lock the front door in time. This time, muttered the first little pig, who was also busy closing all the window shutters. Outside, the big bad wolf was huffing and puffing and doing his very best to blow down the brick house. Ha! Laughed the little pig nervously. He'll never blow down this house. After a lot more huffing and puffing, the big bad wolf rattled the front door and the window shutters, growling angrily. I'll show you and your brick house, piggy, snarled the wolf. I'll get in there somehow. The first little pig had his eye to a hole in the shutters. He's got a ladder, he said. The chimney, squealed the second little pig. Come on, said Goldilocks, and she ran to the fireplace. Here, said the first little pig, handing Goldilocks a bundle of straw. This was left over from when I built my straw house. Goldilocks used the dry straw to start the fire. There was a thunk as the ladder slammed against the side of the house. He's climbing up to the roof, oinked the second little pig. Quick, take these. These were left over from my stick house. Goldilocks added the sticks to the little fire. One by one, they crackled and burned. The big bad wolf was on the roof. Come on, Goldilocks, squeaked the third little pig, handing her a log from the basket. Smash! A roof tile fell off the roof and splintered to the pieces outside. There, said Goldilocks, that should do it. Orange flames burned brightly in the fireplace. A moment passed before a big, furry, bushy tail appeared at the top of the hearth. The flames licked higher. There, the wolf is trying to get down the chimney. Yee-ow! Howled the big bad wolf, scrambling back up the chimney with his tail on fire. He popped out of the chimney, leapt off the roof, barely touching the ladder, put his tail in the garden pond, and then bounded off into the distance, yowling all the way. Well, I don't think we'll be seeing him again, said Goldilocks. And she was right. The big bad wolf never came anywhere near the little brick house ever again. Goldilocks and the three little pigs became great friends, and they all lived happily ever after, even though it was completely the wrong fairy tale. And you remember that Goldilocks should not have been seeing the three little pigs. She should have been seeing in the house of the three bears. But anyways, this was a good fairy tale anyways, wasn't it? Our next story is called The Children Who Loved Books by Peter Carnavis. Angus and Lucy, brother and sister, did not have very much. They didn't have a television. They didn't have a car. They didn't even have a house. It looks like they lived in a very, very small trailer with their mom and dad. But Angus and Lucy had books, hundreds of them. They were all over the floor. And the chickens, they had chickens, and the cat, the chickens walked all over the books, and the cat was resting on top of one. The books were stacked here, under the toaster, and piled there, under the fruit bowl, balanced and propped and shoved in all kinds of places. Books cluttered every corner of the room, until one day, their home could take no more. There was no room for the family, or the cat, or the two chickens. They were swarmed and surrounded and piled under books. The books had to go, the mom and dad said. So off they took their books to the library, I believe. But first of all, things were just not the same. Bowls slid off the table. Angus could no longer reach the window when there were no books in the house. And because there was more space in their home, there was a lot more space between them all. Then one afternoon, something tumbled up from Lucy's school bag. What's this? Said Dad. A book, Lucy answered. From where? Asked Mom. The library, Lucy replied. Mom and Dad looked at the book. They opened it. Dad read the first sentence aloud, and then the second. The children moved closer as Dad turned the page and read on. The light faded, and the family moved back inside. Dad was reading to all of them all the way. They huddled beside the lamp and listened to the story, even the chickens and the cat. That night, as darkness fell upon the town, one small home shone brighter than any other. The next day, as the family yawned their good mornings, they were closer than ever before. They had all fallen asleep reading as Dad read, and they were all piled on their little couch. Sound asleep, they had slept there all night, even the cat and the two chickens. With bleary eyes and full hearts, they rode through the clean morning air. Nobody had said a word, but Angus and Lucy knew exactly where they were going. Off they went to the library, the whole family. Angus and Lucy didn't have very much, but they had all that they would ever need. They could now borrow books from the library, but they didn't have to keep them. They could go take them back to the library and get new books. So anyways, that's the story of the children who loved books. And then the mom and dad started to also, didn't they? The whole family just loved and loved to read. This story is called Lady Pancake and Sir French Toast. Deep in the fridge and behind the green peas, way past the tofu and left of the cheese, up in the corner and back by a roast, sat Lady Pancake beside Sir French Toast. The leftover friends were as close as could be until they heard news from their neighbor, Miss Bree. The syrup is almost completely gone. A single drop's left. Just a drop, she went on. The last drop is mine, Lady Pancake conversed. But French Toast replied, not if I get there first. Like that he was off, and the race had begun, with Pancake behind breaking into a run. Through broccoli forest, past orange juice fountain, they climbed to the top of potato-mashed mountain. Pushing and shoving, they fought for the lead, Toast behind Pancake, who rolled at high speed. She screeched to a stop at the end of the shelf, clutching a grapevine to steady herself. Toast didn't notice and couldn't quite stop, plummeting down into a jam with a plop. He scraped himself off and yelled up, "You're a meanie," as Pancake rappelled down a rope of linguine. She bragged, "I'm the best of all breakfast food treats," then hurdled a lime and skipped over the beets. I am, thought Toast, but his chances looked bleak. So Toast took a shortcut down Sauerkraut Peak. Skiing past spinach and artichoke dip, Toast vaulted high in the air with a flip. Nearing the edge, he tried one final jump, but stumbled and fell way below with a thump. Pancake made use of her seafaring skills and sailed across oceans of soup causing spills. But chilly lagoons slathered Pancake in muck, and then at a fork in the room she got stuck. "Don't go that way," yelled a chickpea to warn her, but Pancake sped on and got trapped in a corner. Uh-oh! Caught behind dressings, one Russian, one ranch. She squeezed out and started a bean avalanche. Toast reemerged in the vegetable crisper, sneaking up swiftly, not making a whisper. Beans were falling now from such a great height, some kidney, some lima, some pinto, and some white. Searching for safety from raining legumes, Toast turned to hide, but was blasted by fumes of Brussels sprouts left from the old party platter. So quickly he climbed up a celery ladder. Beside him a lettuce leaf parachute landed. Pancake flipped out. "It is mine," she demanded. Battered and soggy, exhausted and crumbling, too tired to push, they were both limping and stumbling. There stood a bottle of syrup at last, maple syrup. But wait, it was empty. They stood quite aghast. Licking his lips with a sneer that was awful, out of the shadows crept Baron von Waffle. "I got her first while you boasted and bickered. My, that syrup was delicious," he snickered. With one evil laugh, Waffle slipped out of sight. The syrup was gone. No more reason to fight. Trudging back home beneath layers of grime, Toast said, "Perhaps we should not fight next time." "Agreed," said Pancake. "As friends we should share. Hey, look, we can split up that butter right there." And there they were, sharing the butter, even though they had no syrup. They were sharing. And that's the end of that story about the pancake and the waffle. And the French toast. Now we have time for one last poem, or maybe a short story. This is called Dinosaur Attack. Felix the dinosaur was the smallest dinosaur in his herd, but there was one thing he could do better than all the others. He could run very, very fast. "Felix, slow down," the other dinosaur said to him every day as he whizzed past. But Felix wouldn't listen. One day, dinosaurs were munching leaves in their camp when they heard a loud thump, thump. "It's T-Rex," the chief dinosaur cried. "Hide!" All the dinosaurs did exactly as they were told, all except Felix, who had an idea. There was a cliff nearby, and at the bottom was a large lake. If T-Rex chased after him, perhaps Felix could lead him off the cliff. Thump, thump, thump. T-Rex came stomping into the camp. Felix took a deep breath and jumped out in front of him. "Silly old T-Rex," he shouted, and blew a loud raspberry. T-Rex bared his teeth. "No one blows raspberries at me," he roared, and he started to chase Felix. Felix ran faster and faster than ever before, all the way to the cliff, and T-Rex got closer and closer. Just before Felix reached the edge, he grabbed hold of a bush and stopped sharp. But T-Rex was too big to stop himself in time. He ran straight off the cliff and landed in the lake. Splash! What a huge splash that was. "Good riddance," said Felix, tearing over a T-Rex spluttering in the lake below. All the other dinosaurs in the herd slowly came out of their hiding places. "Felix, you're a hero," said the chief. "No, I'm not," said Felix in a modest voice. "I'm just a very fast runner." "Well, we're very proud of you," the chief said, "and we'll never complain about you running ever again." There was an old woman who swallowed a fly. I don't know why she swallowed a fly. She swallowed a spider to catch the fly. It wriggled and jiggled and tickled inside her. She swallowed a cat to catch the spider. She swallowed a dog to catch the cat. She swallowed a cow to catch the dog. She swallowed a horse to catch the cow. And she's filled up now. And that is the end of our time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For more information about NCRS, visit our website at ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Read to Succeed on the North Carolina Reading Service.